Isaiah chapter 40, please, reading from verses 1 through to verse 5. It's a short reading. And the word of God says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her, that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." The book of Isaiah is an amazing book. It's probably been described by some people as the most theologically significant book in the Old Testament. Isaiah himself was regarded as one of the principal and richest prophets of Israel. This chapter itself, when you come to it, is probably one of the most eloquent and moving chapters of the Bible. For its language, for its phrasing, for his expression, it's almost incomparable. But let's be certain of this. Isaiah was never concerned to write a great literary masterpiece. Isaiah was a man who was gripped by a message from God. He was a man who was full of the Spirit of God and had a message from God. And I want to share just four very quick things, because time has almost gone, about this message that Isaiah brings to the people of Israel. Four things from verses 1 to 5. I want you to notice first with me, please, an explanation that is crucial. An explanation that is crucial. If you look at verse 1, the word says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God." I want to say, first of all, that this message this evening, or the message that Isaiah gave, was from God. This was not Isaiah's own ideas. It wasn't Isaiah's brainstorm. It wasn't something that Isaiah thought up. It was God's message. And so often, friends, I think perhaps in Northern Ireland or other parts of the world, we miss that. We've become so familiar with the Word of God. Now, this message that Isaiah gave to the people, it had immediate purpose to them. And we'll find that out in a minute. It had an immediate message to the people, but over and above that, it had a message way out beyond time. You will notice the verses there in verse 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." You will know that those verses are in Matthew and Mark and Luke. And over and above the immediate purpose of this message was a message about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isaiah looked into a time in the future, a future for these people and a future for us as well. But it was a message from God. Someone has said this: we can become so accustomed to holy things, so used to handling them, so comfortable around the Word of God, we are in constant danger of reducing its awesome message to something trivial. Isn't that true? Perhaps we come and we've heard the message of the gospel for so long. We've heard the message of God's word for so long that we've become so accustomed to it. And we do not realize that it's a message from God. Tonight you may be here and you might have come out of custom. You might have come out of practice. Maybe you come to hear the testimony. Perhaps you never came to hear a message to your heart from God. You know, familiarity can mean that the wonder of Scripture is reduced and its truth trivialized and its demands cheapened and its radicalism domesticated. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a radical message. It's a message which changes lives, which puts demands upon lives. if it's a message which is far from trivial. So I want you to take note this evening that if you've come, and maybe you've come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you've become accustomed to the Word of God and accustomed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to ask yourself this evening, is this message for me? Is it a message this evening from God to my heart? An explanation that is crucial. This is God's message. The gospel of Jesus Christ is entirely of God. It is not something that we dream up or that man has invented. It is a message which comes from Almighty God. So I want you to take note tonight, because the Word of God says to us, he who has ears, let him hear. We cannot hear the Word of God and go away unchanged. We should always hear it, that it makes a change in our lives, Christian or those who do not claim to know Jesus Christ. An explanation that is crucial. I want you to notice, second with me, please, a situation that was critical. A situation that was critical. And you will notice that in verse 2. It says, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. We see in this verse a situation that is critical. The people of God, Isaiah has been telling them in chapters 1 to 39, he has given them a message of confrontation. He has exposed their sin. Read chapters 1 to 5 and you will see it. It's no different from today. It's no different from many of our lives. Let not think that they were any different from us today. They weren't. And they were God's people. And Isaiah has confronted them with the sinfulness of their lives in chapters 1 to 39, a message of confrontation. And from verses chapter 40 to the end, we see a message not of confrontation, but of consolation. But they're in a critical situation in verse 2 because God has told them, because they have provoked him to jealousy and because they have sinned and left him out of their lives, he warned them that they'd be taken away to Babylon. And Isaiah's looking to the time here and he says, it's happened. It's happened. They would never have believed it. The judgment of God, which was right, had come upon the people of God, and they had been taken away. Something they thought would never happen to them. But you know, they had reaped what they had sown, a very biblical principle. And God had taken them to Babylon. And if you notice, the words in verse 2 say, the situation that is critical is, they're at war with God. Warfare. What does that word mean? Well, it literally means hard times. Times of trouble. I want to say this evening. You know, if you leave Jesus Christ out of your life, or perhaps you set Jesus Christ, even as a Christian, you set him out of your life and you forget about him, it will bring hard times. It will bring troubled times. The Word of God tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. Let's not think that sin is all pleasure. Let's not think, young people, that the world can give you nothing but pleasure. It brings hard times. You just have to read your newspapers. You just have to look at the media. And you will see the difficulty and the moral mess that comes from leaving Jesus Christ out of lives. And these people are at war with God. What a place to be. You know, by nature and practice, until we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're at warfare with God. The reason being, if you look down, you will see the two words that explains it. You will see the two words. One is iniquity. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The two words are iniquity, which means a twistedness in people's lives, which we're born with. We're born with sin. We're born facing the wrong way. We're born facing away from God. There's a twistiness in our life. We're not made the way God wants us to be. And sin is a missing of the mark. We noticed Pastor Maxwell this morning with his dart blowing it, and his first one, he missed the target. And that's what we do, friends. We miss the target all the time. And that's where these people had found themselves. They were twisted. They were facing away from God. And their sin, which they were rightly being judged for, they were missing the mark continually. Is that where you find yourselves this evening, friend? Do you know in your life, I don't think we need to be convinced. We need to be convinced of our sin. I think we know in our own lives that there's lust and passion and jealousy and envy. And we miss the mark. And we fall short, as Karen said, of the glory of God. It's a situation that is critical. An explanation that is crucial. A situation that is critical. I want you to notice very quickly with me, please, a proclamation that is phenomenal. We often hear young people say today, and perhaps even older ones have said, that's awesome. It's lost its meaning, hasn't it? That's awesome. This message that God brings to these people is awesome. It's a phenomenal message. So if you note the message, it says, comfort, yes, comfort my people. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. It literally means to speak comfort to the very heart of Jerusalem. It is a picture of a man trying to win a woman's heart. You ever done that, man? You ever bought flowers? You ever taken your girlfriend out for a meal? Ever opened the car door right at the start of a relationship? Maybe yes. I'm run down in our house as not being very romantic. I think it's a bad assessment. That all comes from a holiday we had in County Cork many years ago. And it was in the middle of nowhere. There was no lights. And it was a beautiful night and the stars were in the sky when I was in the house and everyone else was outside. And they said, come out and see the stars. And I said, I don't need to see the stars, I can see them at home. And ever since then, I've been put down as not being someone who would try to win a woman's heart. But that's the picture here of a God who speaks comfort. What a beautiful message. Sometimes we think of God as one who is some sort of awful specter. Someone who's never happy unless he's punishing us. Someone who's looking down in anger at all times. And yet, the message of the gospel is of a God who sent prophets to the people of Israel. Who is one who sent Jesus Christ as his son to win us and to forgive us. What an awesome message to people who have provoked him to jealousy and to anger and have disobeyed his laws. And yet he says, speak comfort to them. Speak comfort. I wonder what your view of God is tonight. Do you know that he's a God who rightly punishes sin, but do you know that he's a God who loves you and speaks comfort? And we'll see why in a second. He speaks comfort because he says two things, and I want you to notice them, please. He speaks comfort because he wants them to know, first of all, that her iniquity is pardoned. Verse 2, her iniquity is pardoned. You know, the first and greatest thing that people need is pardon from God. And perhaps you're here tonight and you've never known the pardon of God. You've never come to God and asked him to forgive your sin. And God says to these people, their iniquity is pardoned. What an awesome message. Your iniquity is pardoned. Perhaps this evening you're a Christian who is walking far from God. And you think God will never speak to you again. You think God has perhaps finished with you. And your shame prevents you from coming back to Him. Or your sins and the devil keep you away from Him. Let me say this to you. God speaks this evening to you and He loves you. And He speaks comfort into your heart. Secondly, I want you to notice not only is their iniquity pardoned, but her warfare is ended. Her warfare is ended. You know, these people, and Isaiah is looking forward to a time when the people will be brought back from Babylon and brought back to Jerusalem. And certainly for some of them that came true. They were brought back to Jerusalem. And their warfare was ended. And it's a wonderful picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because when God forgives or pardons, He doesn't leave us in the situation which we are in. He changes our situation. Isn't that right? If the gospel of Jesus Christ was just about forgiveness, it wouldn't be the full picture. God gives us a new nature. He gives us a new mind. He gives us a new outlook. He gives us new desires. He gives us new strength. He gives us new comforts and new consolations. The Bible becomes the Word of God as it is to us. We can talk to God in prayer. What tremendous privileges to know Jesus Christ. To be taken out of a situation where we have no hope and into a situation we have all these blessings. What a picture of the gospel. That their warfare was ended and their situation had changed. A proclamation that was phenomenal. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had your situation changed by Jesus Christ and given new life? I want to finish with the last point, the proclamation that was phenomenal. And I want you to notice, lastly please, in verse 3 and 4, a preparation that was essential. Verse 3 says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth." You will know those verses, I said, from the New Testament. Prepare the way of the Lord. How was God going to do all of this? How was God going to change them? Was God just going to say, "It's okay, I'll forgive your sin"? No. God doesn't brush sin away like that. They had received, as it says, double for all her sins. They had been chastised. They had been punished. But what He's saying to them now and what He says for the future is, prepare the way of the Lord. There was one coming who was going to pay the price for sin. Now, young people, we live in a very pluralistic world. What do I mean by that? Well, by that I mean there's many gods and many ways to God that people will tell you. We also live in a very individualistic world where people will say, well, that's a message for you and that's okay. And we live in a very relativistic world where people will say, well, everything's relative. There is no absolute truth. You can't be sure. Well, I want to say on the authority of God's word this evening that there is no other way to be right with God except through Jesus Christ. And that's what this verse is saying. Prepare the way of the Lord. There was one coming. A special person was coming, taking a journey that no one else had taken. A person who had never been here before. And God is telling them, prepare the way of the Lord. It is a picture of, in Old Testament times, of a new king coming to a city. And they would have went out ahead to prepare the roads. And they would have smooth the roads out. And if he was that important, they would have built a new road. And that's what God's saying is, prepare the way of the Lord. We cannot be forgiven. We cannot have our situation changed unless it is through Jesus Christ. You will find many different ideas out there in the world. You will find it in your schools and in your colleges. But I want to assure you tonight, friends, there's no other way for salvation except through Jesus Christ. And if you read the verses following, you will see, make straight in the desert, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He made himself of no reputation and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was made low that you and I could be raised up. And you know, there's nothing that can stop Jesus Christ from saving you apart from your decision to reject him. You know, God reached these people in Babylon and he brought them home. And sometimes we think that our failures and our sins and our disappointments and our fears and our confusion and our past life can prevent us from coming to Jesus Christ when they're very things that he wants us to cast upon him. I don't know where you stand this evening. I don't know if you're here this evening and you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know if you're here this evening and perhaps you're a little bit like the people of Israel, where you have forgotten God and pushed him out of your lives and rejected. And perhaps this evening, without anybody knowing, you're sitting under the chastisement of God. I want to say this evening to you that God speaks to you. He speaks to you and he says, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. I want you to cast your sin and your care upon me. I want to change your situation. I want to give you new life. I wonder, will you hear the message this evening from God? Or will you become accustomed and familiar and trivialize the message of God? An explanation that is crucial. A situation that is critical. A proclamation that is phenomenal. And a preparation that is essential. Without Jesus Christ, we will never know forgiveness. We will never know new life. And you will never know a future.